Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were talking about some crazy Browns stats. And I mentioned the Browns in their last 62 games have six wins. Think about that for a minute, Dustin. The Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Okay? Think about this. The Houston Texans, would you say they're just like kind of a middle-of-the-road team?
Yeah.
Okay. Not the Patriots. Not talking about the Steelers. Not talking about I'm talking about a middle-of-the-road. Forget the Cowboys. I'm talking about a middle-of-the-road team. The Houston Texans have won six in a row. The Browns have won six of their last 62 games. Just wrap your head. Six of their last 62 games have been wins. And tomorrow...
Losing's a culture, man.
Tomorrow is the fourth anniversary
of
the last time the Browns won a game following a game they won. So in other words,
A winning streak.
Last time they had a winning streak, 4 years ago tomorrow, they beat the Bengals on that Thursday night football game. The fourth anniversary of that game is tomorrow. And they have gone, if you look at it, since November 23rd of 14 when they beat the Falcons to go to 7-4, in that year, they have gone 655-1 in almost four calendar years. So they're averaging 1.5 wins per year in almost four calendar years. What can you say about that,
Dan? Not much.
I feel like every time I come on with you guys, like you guys should play taps or like funeral music.
Yeah,
or
right.
I tabulate this type of stuff all the time.
Right.
And every time I do it, I end up doing the math 4 and 5 times because I can't believe it. Like, it boggles
your mind.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I feel like I've made an error somewhere. I'm adding or subtracting wrong somewhere. And then I get out the calculator. Yep. Do it with the calculator. All right, let me do it with my phone now because I still don't believe it. And then it's like, well, I guess that's what it is. Yeah, I mean, and I got news for you. I don't know when they're winning a football game anytime soon.
Well, Darryl thinks they're going to lose out the rest of the year.
I think there's a good chance they could go in.
They won't lose out
for an 11-game losing streak.
I got them with two more wins this season. I got four games where I give them a shot to win. I think they can win one of the two Bengal games. I think they could beat Denver and maybe Houston. I'm not a believer in Houston. They've won six in a row, so that sounds a little stupid. That's it. They will not beat Atlanta.
No, Atlanta's hot right now.
They won't beat Carolina. They'll definitely lose one of the Bengals. You know what? Maybe, I guess, at Baltimore. You know, Baltimore could be playing Lamar Jackson by that point, too.
And Harbaugh looks like he's going to be out the door in that season finale as well. They might play really hard for him and try and send him out with a win. But my point is that I look at the schedule, look at the competition that they've already played, what's left, and what's concerning to me down the stretch, because this is what happens to Cleveland Browns seasons here. This isn't, I'm just making this up out of thin air. I mean, you just said it. What, 6 of 62 that they've
won? 6 of 62.
Okay. So what happens is they end these seasons every year losing 9 of 10, 10 of 11, 11 of 12. This is an annual occurrence for this franchise. So I'm not completely nuts here in saying they could easily lose 10 of 11 or all 11 down the stretch.
No.
The problem for them right now, they've got bodies dropping like flies on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So what was once the strength of this team early in the season is decimated with injury right now. They're going to be bringing cornerbacks up off the practice squad this week at this point, depending. I mean, E.J. Gaines is back in concussion protocol. Denzel Ward, we don't know what's going on with him and his hip injury. That's a major concern. Mm-hmm. Terrence Mitchell isn't available to come off IR. I think it's December 9th against Carolina, the final four games there. So
what about Kirksey? I know he's not secondary. But
hamstring. I mean, it's at least a couple weeks.
Kirksey hamstring. Schobert is out.
Right.
Jamie Collins doesn't even look like he's interested in being on the field. So I'm just objectively listen, I'm not saying they could lose 11 in a row just to be negative here and preach doom and gloom. I'm looking at the reality of the situation that this football team is all of a sudden finding itself in, and that's what's happened in these previous seasons, that those losing streaks toward the end of the year are a byproduct of the attrition of the season and the fact that they just, you know, by the time they get to the end of the season, they're out of starters. That's what worries me when I look at what's left and I look at what's already transpired from an injury standpoint.
So what's going to happen now, Derek? Let's go back to yesterday for a minute here.
Okay.
I saw some positives. Number one, the offense scored touchdowns. That's a start to winning some football games. Our defense is just, you're playing third and fourth string linebackers and DBs. You can't imagine to stop the best offense. But I was sort of encouraged by some of the play calling. I thought they were loose with Freddie Kitchens calling the plays for the first time this year. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, and I think it starts with Duke Johnson. We had been talking the last couple of weeks about getting Duke more touches. And he was averaging just a smidge over 5 touches per game. That's runs plus catches.
Should be
he had 10 of them.
Should be 15, but I'd like the 10.
They got to double digits yesterday. Yeah. They're up to 10, season high for him. And what did he do? Gave you 88 yards or so of total offense, 2 touchdowns.
Right.
So he did his job. Nick Chubb, I thought, did his job. Average was around 4 a carry. It's under 4 a carry, but he was in the ballpark there. Gave you 80-plus yards rushing.
They just got to use them on the field at the same time more, I think.
Yeah, and I liked the going for 2. I liked going for it on 4th down. I think what Greg Williams realized is that they just needed a ton of points. So if they could squeeze out an 8-point possession instead of a 7-point possession, it was worth going for it. The first touchdown they scored, they're down 14-9. You get to 2. Now you're only down a field goal. Field goal ties the game at 14.
Yeah, I don't
So I got the math there. But then what happens is now you didn't get it. So now you're chasing the points the rest of the way. But again, I still have a problem going for 2.
Now let me say something. I love going for 2. But if the reasoning for going for 2 is what you said, that's a fail. You don't go for 2 there to make it 14-11. You go for 2 to be aggressive. 14-11 is the score is meaningless. Because you knew the Chiefs were going to score a lot of points.
But I don't think those are mutually exclusive things there either, Bull.
Yeah.
I think you can play the scoreboard and be aggressive at the same time.
Sure. I'm just saying, I like the philosophy of just, we go for it on 4th down if it's reasonable yardage. We go for it on 2. We're trying to be aggressive.
From here on out, if it's 4th and 1 and the ball's near midfield, go for it. Why point? You get it down. You got an extra down to get an extra yard. Do it.
If I were a head coach and this could get me fired, if it were 4th and inches, I would never punt. I don't care where I'm on the field. I would never punt on 4th and inches. 4th and 1, I would almost never punt. And even 4th and 2, I would rarely punt. You know, it's on my own side of the field.
Right.
Depends on the score, whatever. But these coaches,
the Browns, because their defense is so bad, just say screw it and go for onside kick every time.
Well, I love it.
Right?
Well,
here's
the other factor.
Good half of them.
Here's the other factor, I think, in some of the decision-making process. And I'm not saying that this was in Greg Williams' thought, but let's be real about it. They've had problems in the kicking game. They're having problems punting the ball.
Well, he made that 50-yard field goal.
I understand that, but overall, they've had protection issues in the place kicking game.
Yeah.
They've had accuracy issues in the place kicking game. Kudos for making the 50-plus yard field goal yesterday. That was great. They had a punt block yesterday because, again, bad technique, as Greg said today, or as I like to call it, just a blown assignment. Somebody screwed up.
Yeah.
That's coaching to me. That's probably the one guy they really should have fired. They should not have stopped with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley last Monday. They probably should have just gotten Amos Jones out of there too, because the special teams have been so awful.
Oof.
But so with that in mind, the fact that the kicking game's such a mess, I'm all about going for 2, and I'm all about going for it on 4th and short. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not enough aggressiveness. That being said. I don't believe Greg Williams is any kind of long-term answer and should absolutely not.
He's not going to be.
Good.
I feel pretty confident in saying he won't be. His job is to keep this team motivated.
You think he even wants to be a head coach going forward?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Dustin knows this because he's been in the locker room. He's dealt with these coaches. I mean, that's what they're in the business for.
Right, but he's
in his 60s now. There's only 32 of those jobs available. So if he can – You know, and I think that's part of what he's doing now.
And yet he turned down four jobs sight unseen, huh?
Well, it's, you know, hey, it's good, I guess, to be wanted like that. So he says, allegedly.
Allegedly?
But, allegedly. But I think what he's doing now is he's auditioning. These press conferences are auditions for him. What he's going to do on Sundays, I think, are auditions for him. Because I really don't see him as the viable option to be the full-time coach going.
So what are they doing, Darryl? They're changing some things up with the schedule, trying to get things off of what Hugh did, just what, trying to trick the players' minds to get out of that routine, right?
Yeah, and you know, from what I understand, there's some minor adjustments being made to the schedule. Greg's trying to, you know, not so much shake things up. Maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it, but I think it's an accurate description. Just to, you know, tweak some things a little bit and get them out of the Hugh Jackson regime and into a little, you know, doing something a little different and force them to adjust a little bit. Maybe, you know, get some energy into the locker room, because that's going to be, to me, Greg Williams' toughest task here down the stretch. Similar to what Larry Drew has to do with the Cavaliers. He's got to have this football team each and every week motivated to play. And that's part of the reason they went to Greg, because he is a motivator. Say what you want about the technique on defense and the execution on defense. What you can't, Jamie Collins aside, what you can't say is that you don't get effort on his side of the football. He lights fires under guys' backsides. And that's what Greg is expected to do here.
Although, in fairness, it did look like the defense quit against both the Chargers and the Steelers. I won't say that for yesterday, because they were just so undermanned.
They got outclassed. I can't even criticize yesterday's game. It went exactly the way I expected it to go.
The Chiefs just better at every aspect of the
game. They're just a better team. There's something to be said for losing to a better team. And the thing that I take away from yesterday's game, when I watch Kansas City play, it was, again, watching a different sport when they were on the field offensively, that hopefully that's what John Dorsey's going to bring here to Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, he drafted all this.
What we saw with Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes, by the way, how about that? How about that offensive line? Four former Cleveland Browns
four.
On that. Four. Oh, because they had a practice squad
one
guy.
One of those guys was on the Browns practice squad. I can't remember his name.
So four fans of the starting offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs were former Cleveland Browns.
And three of the four were bums here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not fair to Ryder and their...
I think that part of that, too, it comes down to coaching.
A lot of it.
I think a lot of that, to me, is coaching.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Irving was a turnstile here.
Yeah.
He didn't belong on the field. He goes to Kansas City. He spends a couple of weeks there, and all of a sudden, he's in the starting lineup, and he's playing well. Coaching. That's it. You know, the...
Speaking of which, Darryl, like, you know, Larry Ogunjobi, Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield, have made comments about the communication's better, the energy is better.
Noticed that, did you?
Are any of those shots at Hugh, or are they just more compliments at Greg?
Oh, those are shots across the bow.
I said 2 weeks ago I was told that Baker didn't like Hugh Jackson, and there's nothing to believe.
Well, you did say that. I forgot.
Yeah. And there's nothing, and all the comments he's made since make me believe that was definitely true.
I will tell you that I've heard nothing to dispute what you heard.
Yeah.
And there's some veiled things being said. You know, the players don't want to come out and make headlines for, you know, ripping Hugh or ripping
Nobody defended him.
To me, it's not what is said, it's what's not said.
That's true.
And nobody last week defended Todd Haley. Nobody defended Hugh Jackson. Even today, you know, we asked Duke Johnson, hey, you got some more touches. How much of that is Freddie Kitchens calling plays versus Todd Haley calling plays? Yeah. And he's like, well, and here's the thing with Duke, and it's radio, but he gets these expressions on his face
when he
gets these smirks on his face because he knows where you're going with a question. He's thinking of the politically correct answer to give you because he doesn't want to say anything that's going to make a headline. But even today, he's like, I guess you could say that if you want to say that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dispute you.
That is exactly how he says it.
It tells you everything you need to know about what was really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Listen, we'll see. I mean, right now, Baker's got a long way to go to be Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he can't get there, but right now he's got a long way to go. And obviously Patrick Mahomes got better coaching, better talent around him, and he's a second-year quarterback. I know he didn't play outside of one game last year, but there's still something to be said for being in the second year versus being a rookie, guys.
Need some more help around him, too. I mean, look what's around Patrick Mahomes.
And imagine if – it's so funny watching those receivers from Kansas City. Like Sammy Watkins, for example, right, Bull? What do you think about Sammy Watkins?
I think he's a decent receiver.
You thought that he was somewhat of a bust entering the league, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been a bust, yeah.
Like, I'm watching Sammy Watkins out there running routes and catching passes. Like, he caught this one. It was a fastball. Remember the one? He sat down. It was like a 20-yard, like, just curl. And Mahomes just puts it on him, and he catches it with his hands. And I'm like, our receivers can't do that.
No.
Like, just catch with your hands.
David Njoku made a nice catch.
Although David Njoku, for some reason, can only catch the most difficult passes ever.
Well, but he made one difficult on himself because it hit. He allowed the ball to get to his chest, which forced him to make a juggling catch as he's going up the field. Had he used his hands to catch it, the catch wouldn't have looked as impressive. But it's
Kareem
Hunt,
Spencer Ware, Tyreek, it's Sammy Watkins, it's Kelsey. They just, anybody they throw the football to, number one, they're going to catch it.
Yeah.
Number two, they're fast, they're athletic, they make guys miss.
Yeah.
We don't really have anybody like that.
And, well, like, listen.
Duke to some degree is a make you miss guy.
Yeah.
But he's battling that quad right now, so even he can't kind of cut.
Let's not make it seem Jarvis Landry's a scrub. Jarvis Landry's a better football player than Sammy Watkins, or at least he's been a better football player.
But Sammy Watkins is faster.
Yeah, but the faster guy's not always, just because you're faster doesn't make you better.
I don't know. I mean,
Sammy Watkins has been a bust. He's playing okay for Kansas City, but he's their fourth option.
Well, doesn't having a quarterback make you better too?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. But Jarvis Landry's been a pretty good wide receiver without any really good quarterbacks. I mean, he's had Ryan Tannehill and a rookie quarterback.
I'm just wondering why Jarvis Landry can't get open here, Bull. That's my problem with Jarvis right now.
It's a little hard when nobody else in your receiving core can do anything either.
He's having to work awfully hard to catch 5-yard passes.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I mean, that's not a
I can't argue that Sammy Watkins that Jarvis has a better track record than a guy like Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
But the Browns need a Sammy Watkins.
They need someone that can take the top off of defense. And that's what Antonio Callaway is supposed to do. But you're depending on a guy who hadn't played football.
How many times yesterday, did they take a couple deep shots to Perriman? Because they're just trying to get some
just
sort
to
of
stretch it.
Right.
Yeah,
stretch of the defense.
Yeah.
But how you defend the Cleveland Browns is you take Jarvis, at least how you defend the Browns passing game, you take Jarvis Landry out. Yeah. And if somebody makes a play not named Jarvis Landry, tip your cap. God bless you.
Yeah.
Good job. But
all right.
There's no one there in that receiver
corps. You can't fix every hole in 1 year.
No, of course not.
You can't fix every hole in 1 year. Got a lot of work to do still on this team.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.